Hey, thanks again for pressing play. Welcome once again to another edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. My name is John Voida here, Managing Editor, Bright Side of the Sun, and I'm joined as per usual by my t-shirt matching buddy, Matthew Paulissi. The policy's in the house.
Oh, baby. Look at these shirts. Couple good looking fellas over here, huh?
Ooh, got a lot of license plate shirts on. Yeah. It's Memorial Day. Looking really good. How was your Memorial Day, man?
It was fantastic. I didn't do anything today, really.
Good.
Just chilled. Yeah, relaxed. And I don't know. I mean, what did you do, man? Did you celebrate it, but I don't think that's the right term, right?
No, you don't celebrate Memorial Day. It's more of a Memorial Day. Well, you know, we had a little bit of a, you know, we're doing themed weekends around these here parts, and we were doing war movies this weekend. We only got through two Mel Gibson war movies. Can you name three movies that has Mel Gibson in it that has to deal with war?
The Patriot.
Yep. Which we did not watch. Which we did watch.
And there was another one where it's something. Is it something lost? Like Men at War or something like that.
We were soldiers.
Okay.
Yes.
Vietnam. I've seen that one a long time ago.
Yeah. Good. So Braveheart and We Were Soldiers we watched this weekend. I'm kind of disappointed in myself though, Matthew. Didn't get any naps in. Zero naps over a 3-day weekend. Yeah. I mean, today I was doing some yard work. I woke up, went to Albertsons, got some eggs. I did some weed eating. I downloaded Madden 24 just because I'm so itching for the college football game that I downloaded Madden 24, which is like $12. And I'm just like playing through that and just getting myself back into the football mindset of video games I prepare for my life to be over in the middle of July when NCAA Football 25 comes out and all content cease to exist on the Suns Jam Session and Bright Side of the Sun, because I'm going to be playing the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, everything's going to be burning down around you. Like, oh, still got my TV. As long as it's still hung on the wall.
Yeah, as long as the Wi-Fi is working, I'm good, you know. So, but yeah, you know, Memorial Day. And Bill Walton passed away today. And that kind of sucks. 71
Did
years
he
old.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Walton passed.
Wow.
One of the great, you know, it's one of those things. The Pac-12 died this year, and so did Bill Walton. And he's been, you know, just a fantastic announcer, a true guy. And I forget what streaming service, I feel like it's Hulu, has like a 3 or 4 part series on Bill Walton. If you guys haven't watched that, watch that. It gives a good summation of who he is and his playing career and things of that nature. So, and I see Hamo. He says, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. I truly do from the bottom of my heart. A reminder to everybody that Memorial Day is not about those who are the veterans who are living, but to remember those who have passed. So Saving Private Ryan, I'm trying to get my, you know, my wife has never seen Saving Private Ryan.
It's a crime. She has not, huh?
It's like one of the greatest
for her, right?
It's not. Dude, we watch fucking Braveheart.
Yeah, but that's weird. And I feel like we've had this conversation about Braveheart, where that is a long movie for Shannon to watch and to love.
It has to do probably
with Mel Gibson is just that good of an actor, though.
And I see Hey.Zero. He says Patriot and Last of the Mohicans. Mel Gibson, not in Last of the Mohicans. That's Daniel Day-Lewis. So, but yeah,
I've seen that one.
Wherever you go, I will. That's actually a really good one. I will find you. I think it won Academy Awards and stuff. That's a damn good one too. So I hope everyone's enjoying their Memorial Day weekend. If you happen to be here stateside, if you're out amongst the entire world, hope you enjoyed your Monday, because it's not your Memorial Day. This is a reminder to everybody who's watching. I'm pulling up the graphic right here. Again, 46.9% of the people who watch this podcast have not subscribed to it. So ask yourself that question. Is that you? If so, just press subscribe. It doesn't take a lot of energy. just boop, done. Last of the Mohicans, boop. Braveheart, boop. Patriot, boop. We Were Soldiers, boop. I go all day. Like I'm just one of those guys. Like, I love war movies. I am a veteran. It's something that I thoroughly it fucking fascinates me. So we are going to be talking about a couple things on this podcast. Obviously, this is Trade Machine NERC. So now we're getting to some of the juicy Ooh. Trade machine things and some possibilities that exist there and whether or not we think it's possible and things of that nature. And we'll talk about what's going on in the NBA as well relative to the conference finals, which are kind of been duds to this point. But before we get into all of that, crack them if you got them. I'm going to crack open this bad boy, Matthew. This is Tito's. Let me give a little crack ski. Don't know if anyone can hear.
Trash, son.
No, just remember what I did last summer?
Yeah,
the summer of the what?
The summer of the yes, those things.
The Moscow Mule.
Mules.
I'm feeling it again. So let's put, you know, I already got the ginger beer in here. Wow. And I already got the lime juice. Okay. Throw some vodka.
Like yesterday, man.
Let's have a good time, shall we? Cheers, fuckers. That's right. We're dusting off the old trade machine here, and we're going to get into what I like what Saul says in the chat. Now to some more realistic trades. We've talked about Kevin Durant. We've talked about Devin Booker. And those are definitely exercises in futility because we know that the team is not going to do it. But before we get to that, I got a question for Matt.
Matthew, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask. We're watching the NBA, or maybe we're not, because these Eastern Conference and Western Conference series have both been duds. The Boston Celtics finished off the Indiana Pacers tonight. They are going to the NBA Finals for the second time in 3 years. And Luka and the Mavs are one game away from sweeping their opponent. So give me kind of, you know, what are your thoughts on all of that?
The Boston Celtics series against the Pacers. I think I watched maybe a quarter of that series. Not very interested. I'm not a big Boston Celtics fan, but it looks like I'm going to have to be in the finals if they're going to play the Dallas Mavericks, because I don't want Luka to win a championship. But that those games have been good, right? I mean, the games from all the series have been pretty good. I think
facts.
Yeah, the Mavericks and the Wolves, those have been good games. It's just Anthony Edwards is not on that level yet as Luka Doncic, which he will get there. He's only 22 years old. But those games have been entertaining. It's just too bad it's 3-0. But, you know, it might be over, it might not. I can still see that one going seven games. Just like when the Wolves, they get up to a 2-0 start against the Denver Nuggets, they still push it to seven. So it could happen. Of course, 3-0 is a different story. But I can still see that going seven. It's been a great series. The only thing that sucks is watching Luka Doncic do this, dude. It is a little frustrating. It does keep me up at night. It really does. And I don't care. I did not want Luka Doncic to win a championship before Devin Booker ever did, because obviously we could have had him. That's the thing we always talk about, but I don't even want to talk about that. I just want to talk about the fact that I wanted Booker to beat him in that way. Not going to happen. Luka might win it this year, but now I'm at the root for Jason Tatum. I mean, would you root for Jason Tatum over Luka Doncic to win their first title?
God, it's hard. That's such a tough question. Ugh. I honestly don't know who I'm going to be rooting for until the ball tips off and we're like halfway through game one. I honestly believe that, because I'm with you. I don't want the Mavericks to win because of the whole Luka narrative, but I'm also kind of over that personally. I'm over thrashing Jason Tatum like I have in the past, saying that he's overrated, wondering why the NBA is forcibly trying to make him the new face of the league, you know, putting him in every commercial possible. I'm like, the guy's got the personality of a three-string guitar. Like, I just don't see it. And that's okay. He doesn't need to be. Not everybody's going to have that exuding, outgoing personality that you get from like an Anthony Edwards. But at the same time, It will be an interesting finals because of the storylines. There's the Porzingis storyline. There's the Kyrie Irving storyline. There's the Grant Williams was traded by both these teams in the last year storyline. So there is some things that definitely make it intriguing. And you know that one of these young superstars is going to emerge as a champion. And that's just the facts of life. So what I've taken from these conference finals, as you mentioned, you know, a couple things. One, it's been really close games, but the teams that are winning are the teams that have the elite scores in the last 2 minutes. And I put that Suns spin on this where it gives me some hope. Did the Suns have their challenges this past season? Abso-fucking-lutely. Were those challenges locker room based and roster construction based and give a shit based? Abso-fucking-lutely. But in the same breath, at the end of the day, you still have Kevin Durant, you still have Devin Booker. So if they are in these types of situations, in theorem, they would execute well. And that's what you want. That's what you need. Look at the Pacers. Imagine what the Pacers are thinking right now. God, we've got this amazing chemistry, young talent, but we just don't have any closers, man. And Tyrese Halliburton, who's the closest thing to a closer, is injured. Look at it from the Wolves' perspective. Man, we've got these three really good guys, but we got Anthony Edwards, who's just not there yet. Cat's a fucking head case happening. Gobert gets played off the court. God, if we only had a closer or another closer to put next to Anthony Edwards. So everything that we have, all these challenges and these frustrations, and trust me, they're deep-rooted and we feel them in our veins when it comes to the Suns, we still have two amazing closers, and the third guy is Bradley Beal. So there are opportunities, and that's the way that I look at it. There are opportunities to make this team better, and we'll explore those tonight as we talk about Jusuf Nurkić. But we are still in a good place relative to that. To that specific thing. And I know if you're watching along live, you're listening later, or you're in the chat on YouTube, you're going to tell me the 10 things that are wrong with the Suns. I know what they are too. But let's talk about one thing that's good, Matthew. They have elite scoring. So if and when we get into this opportunity where it's coming down to the final minutes, because all these games are coming down to the final minutes, but they're both of them were 3-0 with Boston going up 4-0 tonight because, again, in the last 2 minutes, they know how to execute because they have the talent to do so. And that's important.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about progression. These teams getting better and they have the players to do so. I think that the Celtics obviously winning a finals, they must have won the finals this year with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Luka Doncic taking the next step to get to the finals. It's huge for him. Jokic already won last year. Anthony Edwards coming back next year. If he is bounced this round, asked to get to the finals next year. So that's the progression though, that we wanted to see with the Suns too. So that is a frustration on my part.
100%.
This whole year from the beginning was me just, you know, Devin Booker's year. Like I thought he maybe had a chance to be an MVP. Like he has to take that next step to really be recognized as maybe an MVP candidate to take this team to the next level. So until I see that, obviously, I don't know if I can fit him into that group yet as a closer. I just have to continue to see the progression. I know he was in the finals and all that shit, but he's had tremendous games in the finals and he's had really good games throughout his whole career in the playoffs, but it just kind of sucks to see those guys kind of progressing. But then who knows what's going to happen next season? Those guys might not make the playoffs. I know the Mavericks didn't make it last year, so anything can happen. I don't know. I just think it's tough to see Luka go that far, but like you said, you just got to kind of forget about it. And honestly, if it happens, it happens.
You can't do
anything to change it.
It was the same thing with the Nuggets last year and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic going on and win the title. All these guys lap the Suns because the Suns never win. And this is the story of our existence, is seeing the guys who go and win championships while we're sitting around holding our dicks in the wind because the team just never gets there. But I'm trying to look forward and trying to see the hope that could exist for this team. That because of their roster construction, they are limited. They're not the only team that's limited out there. And they're limited because they have elite scoring talent. The attitudes could use some adjustment. Perhaps Budenholzer coming in is really going to change the way that this team operates. We're going to become a team in theorem. Is that going to be my summer word? In theorem? But in theorem, we will be shooting more three-pointers as well. We should. We should be more offensively efficient. We should be more offensively confident. And all of those things will translate to opportunities that lie before us. 2023-24 is in the rear view, and it sucks. And I don't want to look back in the rear view because it's a massive car crash. There's fire everywhere. And I don't want to see it. And, you know, ignorance is bliss. I'm going to look forward and talk about ways to make this team better and talk about how, what, and why this Suns team can finally bring to fruition the goals and the aspirations that we've all had for such a long time. Right?
You're right. It's when I was listening to Daniel Tosh has a podcast now and it's live on YouTube. So I don't think it's live. They just snip it, but pretty good. Did you see Chandler Parsons was on there? So
no, I didn't.
You could kind of raw with it. I mean, it's pretty good because he goes in deep. Talking about, you know, having head coaches and how annoying it is to constantly have to get yourself up to listen to those guys. And he just talks about, you know, coaches are fired every year, like, of course, the Suns. And, you know, these players, it's just they have to find guys that can just manage their egos. That's all it is. And it's weird how things can just turn so quickly. Like Jason Kidd still being in the playoffs. He's a guy like Budenholzer with the Bucks that might have been fired in year three, but he's still there. He's still there, and he might make the finals. So it just, it is up to the players, right? It just show you, like, if Luka could stop whining like he has and complain to the refs, like, they might actually win a championship. He still whines, but I feel like it's not as bad. I feel like Kyrie's a good kind of mentor in a way, maybe to help him out in that way, because I don't feel like he would listen to Jason Kidd. Maybe it's more Kyrie.
Well, just remember that the Mavericks entering the offseason last year, everybody thought they were done. The Kyrie experiment didn't work. They didn't make the play-in tournament, and everyone just thought they were toast. They made some tweaks. Now, granted, at the trade deadline, every single move that they made hit. Everyone hit.
Everyone
hit. Getting Gafford, getting PJ Washington, that hit. That doesn't always happen. It's the exception, not the rule. They're the fifth seed headed to the NBA Finals if they don't lose the next four consecutive games to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which we are assuming will occur, that they will be in the finals. So why not us? Why not us? And it starts with taking a look at this roster and seeing what tweaks we can make. What can this team do? And Mark N. says in the chat, he says, the Celtics fell short last year and made a few tweaks. The Suns have to get their tweaks right. So let's talk about one of those tweaks, which could be Yusuf Nurkic.
Nurk.
Delicious definition, make them boys go crazy.
Oh. All right, so Yusuf Nurkic. Let me ask you this question, Matthew, before we get into the trades that we're proposing, the being rated by our peers, the chat live along here on and on Twitter and on Facebook and on Twitch. Do you think that the Suns should trade Yusuf Nurkic?
I think so. I think it's one of the outs. A lot of my trades coming up is kind of like a salary dump. If you can get rid of them for something cheaper and just kind of make some room, depending on what other kind of moves you can make, it'd be fine. But the reason I say that is he had a great season. Obviously, we had a lot of love for Nurk this season, but in the playoffs, like, he just went really – he was MIA. He was
so was the whole team, to be fair.
The whole team was definitely, yeah. But from what we saw from Nurk this season, it was an outstanding season. I mean, he averaged, if you're going like per 48 or per 36, he led the league in rebounds. So that's awesome to have. Obviously, he's a playmaker. So maybe one more year with the guys around him would be, he can prove himself as that guy more consistently, and especially in the playoffs, he could maybe be a better defender, but that's not going to happen. So I think he's one of the names that you want to move. I know we did talk about Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, but obviously those are guys we're going to keep. This just makes more sense if the Suns are going to make a move to try to get some more assets, like a backup point guard or maybe another center that's a little bit younger, some more athletic, maybe a better defender, then you'd have to move Nurk.
You're right in the sense that this is an asset that the Suns could move and probably will move. When we talked about Kevin Durant, we talked about Devin Booker. That was just to gauge the value of what they could garner on the open market. Devin Booker, you're trading him if you're blowing it up. Kevin Durant, you're trading if you think that the locker room truly is broken, the attitude is messed up somewhere in there, and Kevin Durant is to blame for that, or is a spoke in that cog, if you will. So you trade him, you get something in return, and you kind of build the scrap heap up from the ashes like a phoenix around Devin Booker once again. But those aren't going to happen. It's been rumored, it's been spoken about how the Suns are sticking with the big three going into next season. They want to see it again. And I always said that this was a two-year plan for the big three. We didn't expect them to fail as miserably as they did this year. But we all knew that we were at least going to get 2 years of this to see if they can get it right. Yusuf Nurkic obviously came to Phoenix with the DeAndre Ayton deal that sent the best talented player in that trade, that arm of the trade, because obviously Damian Lillard was part of that trade. But the best player between Portland and the Suns, Ayton went their way. We got back in Nurk. We got Nasir Little. We also received Grayson Allen as part of the deal, which I think really help the Suns win that trade is because of what Grayson Allen turned out to be. But at the end of the day, Nurkic was still Nurkic. A lot of positives with Nurkic, if you think about it, okay? Leadership guy, finishing around the rim, right? That's probably one of his negatives. But you look at his positive, he's a great playmaker. His playmaking talent per basketball index is an A- graded out. His passing efficiency or his passing versatility is a B+. His assist points per 75 possessions is a B+. He has a lot of really good playmaking. And then, as you mentioned, the rebounding. So his playmaking and rebounding are really good. It's the finishing around the rim drives people nuts. His finishing talent rates out as an F per basketball index. You look at everything, rim shot creation, a D+. I mean, across the board, his advanced metrics relative to finishing are kind of in the shitter. So that's frustrating, but it's also, you know, you've heard me say this multiple times, price for value paid. He's a guy who's getting paid. If you look at the average annual value of contracts for centers in the league, where would you say he lands? Centers in the league, okay? Average annual value. What number center? How high up is he?
I'm thinking 12.
12? Okay.
12.
And remember, DeAndre Ayton, I think, ends up being 7th, 6th or 7th. Nurk is 15th.
Damn.
He averages $17.5 million on his contract. Above him is Jakob Poeltl at 19.5, Jared Allen at 20 million, Nikola Vucevic at 20 million. Below him is Zach Collins at 17.4, Onyeka Okongwu from Atlanta at 15.5. So he is a middle of the pack relative to pay center in this league. So you're not going to get a complete player. You're not going to get a great athletic talent who's also can shoot threes and rebound and pass. It's just that's Jokic. That's Joel Embiid. Those are the guys who are getting paid the top of the league. So you get this guy who's mid-tier, gives you some pros, gives you some cons, gives you some leadership. My thing, to answer my own question from a little bit earlier, the reason I think that you do move on from Nurkic, if the deal is right, is because you got the apex of Nurk this past year. It's not going to get better than what you got from Nurkic this past year. Him playing as well as he did for as long as he did is the exception, not the rule. Right? He's 29. He's going to be 30 years old when the season starts. He played in 76 games this year, 10.9 points per game, 11 rebounds per game. This was the best he was going to be. If you're going to try to sell on Nurkic, now's the time, right?
Yeah, definitely. And there was one thing brought up by John Tran. I wanted hearing much about offloading Nurk and the pick to get rid of or to get out of the first apron. So my question is really going into this if we were to trade Nurk and get into the first apron, does that mean like we can go out and sign an unrestricted free agent like a Nicholas Claxton to like a max deal, the max deal that he can have, and then get back into the second apron? We'd have the same issues, but once you get out, can you just do whatever you want and you end up back in and you're in the same situation, but you have a new player and you have a new, I didn't know if that was something that was possible.
So let me start with this. If you trade Nurk's salary away, it's not going to drop you in below that second apron. It's going to get you closer, but it's not going to drop you below it. He's going to be making what? $18.1 million dollars next year. The Suns, I'm trying to look it up because I forget exactly how much over. I think they're like 17 over the second apron right now without they still need to sign four guys. So even if they traded him for nothing, they'd still be over that second apron. Now, that being said, the first apron restrictions do give you some flexibility because it's going to get you as you mentioned, there's abilities to do sign and trades. There's ability to take in 110% of the outgoing salary, which I think is important. You know, that's one thing that the Suns right now, as a second apron team, they're not going to have an opportunity to take in any more than what is going out. 100% match or less. That's why in some of these trades, you'll see that we are essentially offering less because you can't go over that 110% or that 100%. Yeah. So that's a challenge. Some other things that are currently restricting the Suns, but they will no longer have restrictions on. Okay. First round pick 7 years out can't be traded. So that's, if we go into, if we're in the second apron this year, it's going to be our second year in the second apron. If we're the second apron next year or in 3 out of 4 years, you lose the ability to trade that 2031 pick. Teams will no longer be able to use the taxpayer mid-level exception if we drop under that first apron. Again, this is cap semantics. This is getting rid of Nurkic. This is trading Nasir Little. Right there, those two contracts, about $24 million. Now we're talking. Now we're under that second apron, knowing that we still have to get four guys. Outgoing salaries cannot be aggregated. You can aggregate if you are in the first apron, so we can take two guys and trade them again. Cash in trades, things of that nature. So it's getting closer. Trading Nurkic gets you closer to that second apron line and dropping below it, but it doesn't take you there all the way. You need to do much more.
Dumb. Then how do we get LeBron?
Veteran minimum, dude. He would come over as veteran minimum. We'll save that for the Thursday show. I feel like that's Thursday show contract talk.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I like how everyone on the internet is stealing your pick, too, of LeBron. The one that you...
the one I made. I knew it would happen someday.
Oh, really? Really quick. So I have a conspiracy really quick about Kevin Durant watching our show. So we all know who Maya B is, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's Kevin Durant.
No, because Maya B...
Why? What? Why?
Maya B... Kevin Durant's not like tuning right into our podcast after every game. Because Maya B's not here right now. She only comes
I think he has plenty of time to get to it. So the only reason I was thinking about it... So Maya, you remember the singer Maya from Washington, D.C.? And if Kevin Durant had to say like, who's your... If you had to ask him like, who's your top five like hottest pop celebrities of all time? He'd probably say Maya because he grew up... we're the same age. I liked Maya. She's from Washington, D.C. Then you have Beyonce. She's from Texas, Houston, Texas.
He went Maya to Texas B. University.
Yeah, and it's Maya B 1471. And then if you do, no, I'm just joking. So that's as far as I went. I'm like, oh, it's probably Kevin Durant watching us. So we'll just stick with that. We'll just say that Kevin Durant does watch us and likes to talk shit about his teammates and
talk about how great Kevin Durant
is. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Real quick on Nurkic before I get into the bio and we start the trade things. Another thing I want to talk about is, and who said it just now? I think David in the chat says he's a pigeon come playoff time. We got him to play Jokic. Things in, Nugs aren't the only threat. That's true. And you look at how he got owned by Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert's getting played off the court once again. Like it happens every postseason. So the question becomes, if you are to say, okay, we need to get rid of some of the salary, the reason we traded Ayton for pieces was to give ourselves more flexibility moving forward. Well, Nurkic is part of that flexibility. Well, what are you trying to get in return? And somebody said it earlier, Blunted Shaman says, well, this explains Voida's earlier Reddit post. I posted on Reddit. I'm like, hey, if you're trading Nurk, what are you trying to get? I want to know what other people think. And everyone kind of agreed with what I think, and that's either an athletic rim runner, a playmaker, or a defensive wing, or just a wing period, a depth wing. So I think that we're going to address some of those in these trades. Do you agree with those are the three archetypes of player? You're not trying to get a shooting guard. You're not trying to get a long stretch four because you have those things, right?
Yeah. You need to fill in the holes that we're missing, obviously. Like we're trying to make those little tweaks here and there, like the Dallas Mavericks did in the Boston Celtics to get to where they're at right now. So it's someone that can play make that's an actual guard, a wing, and then a rim runner. You need that for this team. Like the alley-oops that we're seeing in these playoffs, I'm like, how many alley-oops did the Suns have this year? Because I know Devin Booker can't throw an alley-oop. I don't think Bradley Beal did. I think Kevin Durant maybe finished a few. So...
That's just Dallas. It's depressing, though, man. Dallas. They're setting a record for the number of alley-oops. Yeah, I mean it's just unbelievable. So, all right, well, let's get into his bio. Taking a look at Big Nurk Daddy, 29, going to be 30. Like I said at the beginning of the season, 4 years left on his contract. That's not right. That's Devin Booker's contract. I always something up. Well, he's got 2 years left, 37.5. That's what he's got. If you're watching, just pretend it says that. If you're listening, it doesn't matter to you. 2 years, 37.5. That's what he has left. And outgoing this year would be 18.1. That's what he's worth on the market. Last season, as I mentioned, 10.9 points per game. He shot 51% from the field, 24.4% from beyond the arc, 64% from the free throw line, 4 assists per game, 11 rebounds per game.
Yay.
So a decent year from Nurkic. Like I said, this is probably the high end of what you're going to get from Nurkic. So if you want to sell now, you should, because injury possibilities exist. And don't get me wrong, there's things that he does, the ancillary things. What Nurk excelled in was the ancillary things, the things that the Suns had problems with this year. Grit, physicality, give a shit. Like, he was the one guy out there who had all three of those characteristics consistently. And that's why when you sit there and you have this conversation, part of you is just like, oh man, like, I don't know if I want to get rid of that. We're already at this point in which we can't muster up enough of those attributes to be successful. Now we would trade another guy for that. In theory, yes, that's what we're proposing here. So any thoughts before we get into some of our thoughts on who we should trade?
I'm ready to get rid of him. Let's do it.
All right. Time to get rid of Nurkic. So the first trade is a trade that I proposed. It is Jusuf Nurkic headed over to OKC for Josh Giddey, Matthew. Joshua Giddey, 1 year, $8.3 million. Obviously, the way that OKC played this season, there's a couple things that I think that they ended up realizing. They realized that they needed another big. They did not have enough size on the interior. It's one of the reasons that they had a hard time with Dallas. And another thing is that Giddey is kind of just doesn't really fit in with them. So they just move on from him. Get Giddey. We get a playmaker, a guy who's got 1 year on his contract. So you're like, you know what? If he works out, great. If not, bye-bye. Thoughts on this one?
I do like it. I've always been a Giddey fan. The one thing, though, is, of course, everyone was going to talk about the Giddey shit, whatever. But Giddey besides shit. That, yeah, the Giddey Diddy stuff. So Giddey's he's one of those players where I can see in the future, if we're listening to Bill Simmons a year from now, if the Suns didn't make a trade for him and he's just like going off, you know, he's actually averaging 8 to 9 assists per game. He's getting this offense moving halfway through the year. I can just see Bill Simmons saying, like, Giddey was out there, no one picked him up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can just see that kind of happening. Like, all the other teams are losers for not actually going after this guy for that salary for 1 year to see how it looks in an offense where you have guys like Bradley Beal and Devin Booker surrounding him with Kevin Durant. So to see him in that situation would be very, very interesting. I feel like he does deserve another look somewhere else. Being on a team with SGA is very tough for him because this guy is a ball handler, does not play defense, obviously. He needs to work on the shot more. But I do like the prospect in Josh Giddey.
It's a prospect indeed, and I don't know if it would necessarily work. But it's an opportunity to get off the Nurk contract and get Giddey in return. I don't know. It's a starting point, right? Like BLA says, no Josh Giddey. Mark Brooks gives it a C. Chantel gives it a D. A C plus from Saul. So, you know, I'm doing okay. John Tran says this is underwhelming. So, I mean,
Down under.
The only thing that is annoying the shit out of me, Matthew, is the fact that from a formatting standpoint, this doesn't look the way that I want it to.
It's all squished.
Yeah. I like it, dude.
I like how it's squished.
That
looks good.
There we go. I guess we'll just do that. Does that still look squished? Why is it still squished?
It does. I don't know, man. The way
I designed it. I worked very hard on designing this, and it doesn't look right. It makes me very, very upset.
I wish like you just never noticed, but
Did it look like that on the last one?
No, not at all. I think it was fine on the last one.
All right. Well, we'll get to the next one, and I'll try to fix it in the background. Matthew, your first one up. Tell us about it.
All right, so Danny Advia. Advia from the Washington. The Washington Wizards. I was going to say the Washington, something else.
Washington Nationals.
15, yeah, there you go. 15. That's about what I was going to say. 4 years, 15.6 coming over to the Suns for Jusuf Nurkic, obviously. It's another guy where you want to see him on another team. He's a competitor. He's someone that I liked in the draft. He has his little ups and downs in the seasons where it's like, oh, Danny Advia, what's he doing? Let me look on Twitter really quick. Let me see the highlights. See, what do you have, like 6 assists or something like that? He won a game for the Wizards. Like little things like that where I don't think he ever did that, where he was kind of rolling there off and on during the season. I kind of want to see him on a team where he can kind of just show his playmaking and kind of go like kind of in a Giddey Diddy kind of way. Just to see what he looks like on the Suns with a lot of talent.
So here's the thing I'll say about Danny Advia. Just came off the best season of his career. 11 something points, started the majority, I think every game that he played in with the Washington Wizards.
Crazy ass team.
And I'll tell you this, like, I watched a lot of players take shoot around this year. He was one of the ones that I really was like, oh dang, like this guy's he's good, man. Like, he's got some very solid foundational basketball skills. And didn't translate into the game he was playing because he plays on just a weird, weird team. I mean, that is who the Wizards are. They are a weird, weird team. There we go. Oh, yes. Thank God I fixed the formatting. It looks right.
Much
so,
better.
So you got to look at it through the Wizards' eyes on this one. He is somebody who... They handed a paycheck to, because they handed paychecks to everyone. See Bradley Beal's contract, right? Like, everybody got a contract in Washington. So they extended him 4 years, $15.6 million this year. And I don't know if they want to build around him. You know, 13th pick in the 2020 NBA draft. I don't know if they want to build around him. But if they do, if they don't, getting Nurkic gets them out of some of the money. And that's the way that they would look at it. Who knows what's going on in Washington? I do like this trade. Obviously, this would say we're doing other things. In free agency, we're going to go after like a Nick Claxton, right, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent from the Brooklyn Nets, who are not looking to, you know, they're looking to just fucking blow it up. So if that's the case, this is a great secondary wing, somebody who can come off the bench, who has a good offensive skill set, not a great defender, but I like his skill set overall, and I think he'd be a great addition. Is this the route I think they should ultimately go? I don't think so. I think there needs to be a little bit more to this trade. But again, it's like you're losing $3 million off the cap sheet, so I get that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Washington's a place where you want someone that just has experience, kind of be a leader in a way. I don't know if you even want to start.
Well, he wouldn't be a leader. He wouldn't be a leader here, would he?
No, Yusuf Nurkic over in Washington.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I think
I don't know if that's even a thing with him. I don't know.
Yeah, and who said it in the chat? Keith Niddle says, what's his assist to turnovers?
I don't know, he averages four assists.
Yeah, 3.8 assists to 2.1 turnovers, so almost 2-1, which is, hey, he'll fit in great here in Phoenix with 2-1. All right, let's see what's next on the old trade machine for Yusuf Nurkic. Ooh, I like this one. Okay, so there's a guy that I've really had my eye on here for a while. And I'll start by saying this. I mentioned earlier, either you go for the athletic rim runner or you go for a playmaker. This is the second one where I'm trading Nurkic in an effort to get a playmaker. And I'm saying you give up Nurkic, you give up the 2031 first round pick, you send him over to San Antonio. San Antonio sends back Trey Jones. Right, Trey Jones, 6'1", 1 year, $9.1 million on his contract next year. So the Suns are taking that 18-1 from Nurkic. They're throwing in that pick to make it a little bit more enticing. They're cutting $9 million off the off the cap sheet. And now you have somebody who can either start as a playmaker or come in as a playmaker, but has that playmaking ability. Trey Jones with the San Antonio Spurs, and for those of you who don't recall, Trey Jones was a Duke University alum. As I mentioned, 6'1", not an insane physical stature and specimen when it comes to basketball. But last year, 77 games played, started in 48 of them, 10 points, 6.2 assists, 1.5 turnovers, more towards that 2.5-3 turnovers to or assist to turnover ratio. And I just like what I see from Trey Jones. I've always kind of been a low-key fan of his. I think that sending Nurkic to the Spurs, again, that's going to be the challenge in every one of these trades. It's like, well, who wants Nurkic? Do the Spurs really want him? Wemby played center 100% of the time last year. So is this an opportunity to say, hey, Wemby, play some four? Or, hey, Wemby, we're going to have Nurkic coming off the bench, and you need here's a good veteran presence on this team. Because he potentially could be that for Wemby if needed. Trey Jones, though, playmaking talent, an A- on B-ball index. Assisted points per 75 possessions, A+. Role-adjusted points per 75 assists, 75 possessions, A-. Potential assists per 100 passes, A. Passing volume creation, A plus. Passing efficiency, B. Passing versatility, A minus. Passing creation quality. I mean, he just down the list of advanced metrics, he's a quality playmaker. He's what this team was missing coming off the bench. So again, in this scenario, you're trading Nurkic, you're attaching a first round pick to try to make it somewhat enticing. The Spurs don't know what they're going to do. They have plenty of cap space, so they can absorb it easily. The Spurs have the fourth most cap space entering next season, and we get Trey Jones out of the deal, and you can hope that for this year, he provides the playmaking that you need off the bench.
I think it's perfect. Even if you throw him in the starting role, it's fine. The thing is, like, I think the Spurs are a team that's, I guess, they're kind of linked to Trey Young in a way. Like, they want to get a playmaker, a real playmaker there, a real established guy in the league with Wembanyama this season. So if that's the case, and Trey Jones moving over here, even if he fills that role as a starting point guard, like a Mario Chalmers kind of thing, you know what I mean? Where he was kind of in there averaging like 4 or 5 assists per game, just someone there that can actually manage a game a little bit, like a better version of that, then I think that's perfect. I like the trade.
All right. Well, let's see what your next trade is. tell us about this.
Okay. So Yusuf Nurkic over to the Horny Hornets. Always I think it's difficult to find teams in this league that need a center, right? It's like
bingo.
A starting center.
I'm glad you're saying this.
Yeah, this is really tough, especially if you can't include anybody in the trades with Nurkic to get anybody. So I'm just looking for depth here. You got Trey Mann, point guard, backup point guard. You got Seth Curry coming off the bench too. So this is just about depth. Easy little 1 year, $4.9 million for Trey Mann. For Trey Mann, Seth Curry, 1 year, $4 million per year for the 1 year. So those are easy little contracts that you just have with those guys. Some depth next season. Nurkic, so I think the only thing for the Hornets is like, do you want someone here with experience that could be a locker room guy? Maybe that's what you're looking for. Nurkic can maybe be that guy, like I said before. But I like the contracts and just like the depth that the Suns will get back.
So this is your salary dump trade, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, both these guys are on one-year deals. You're going to get some shooting out of it, but this is saying, hey, we can cut some of the salary. We can get closer to that second apron line and fall under it, and we would do other deals to try to make up for what we've lost, essentially, in the Yusuf Nurkic realm. And I agree with you. If anybody has gone through and played the trade machine game, it's hard to find teams that really need Yusuf Nurkic. And I'll tell you this. After everything's said and done, my guess is we're going to keep Nurk because the market's just not going to be there for him. I feel like Nasir Little, there's more opportunity to move. Even though his contract is a little bit longer, it is less, and he has more potential upside as an athletic wing who can guard. And we'll be doing the Nasir Little trade machine next Monday on Trade Machine Monday, but Nurk definitely has his limitations. There's a limited amount of places that he could fit into. And you find yourself looking at the same teams over and over again. You're not going to say Nurkic to Dallas is what's going to fix them and help them win the title, right? There's no team that says Nurkic is the answer that for a title run. So you have to look at some of the cellar dwellers. The Hornets are one of those cellar dwellers, which brings me to my trade, which also involves the Horny Hornets. We both had Hornets trades in this one. I find that kind of interesting. In this one, the Suns are dealing to the Hornets Yusuf Nurkic. In return, they're taking back Grant Williams, who has 3 years, $13 million left on his deal, or 3 years left on his deal, $13 million this year. Nick Richards has 2 years left on his deal and has $5 million. And then a first-round pick, which is a 2027 pick, but it's also protected. Now, here's the key here, is the Suns are also giving up a first-round pick in this one, the 2031 pick. So we're sending Nurk and a first-round pick to Charlotte. Charlotte's giving us back Nick Richards, Grant Williams, and a first-round pick that is top 14 protected via Miami, right? So that pick's nothing, essentially. Okay, so let me talk about the strategy behind this. I'll start by saying this. I can't stand Grant Williams. Matthew, can you stand Grant Williams?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Grant Williams got traded from Boston because he got cooked in the playoffs so bad against Jimmy Butler last year to Dallas. Dallas, at the trade deadline, says, you know what's killing our team? Do you know why we will not make the Western Conference Finals? Grant fucking Williams. Send his ass to Charlotte. They get PJ Washington in return. They're like, hey, a competitor, a not fake tough guy. So why in the world would I say it would come to Phoenix? Well, because Charlotte doesn't want him either. And Charlotte's like, listen, if you're going to take Grant Williams off our hands, you're going to have to give us something back in return. And we'll give him Nurkic, and we'll give him a first-round pick. But Grant Williams isn't the focus of this trade, in my opinion. Nor is that first-round draft pick in 2027 that's protected, top 14 protected, that's a Miami pick. It's Nick Richards. Nick Richards, 7 feet tall. He's that rim runner that you want. Not the greatest defender. Not the greatest finisher around the basket. Not the greatest jump shooter. Can't shoot the three ball. But he gives you flexibility to invest elsewhere on your team. And he gives you a lot of those similar skill sets that Nurkic has when it comes to rebounding. He's a beast on the boards. Isn't as great of a playmaker, but he is a better finisher. So you want that young athletic lob threat, that finishing guy. Here you go, Nick Richards. Out of the deal, you do get Grant Williams, who can be a fuck shit up guy. You know, Grant and Grayson coming out there to break some fucking legs, mafia style. I could see it happening. It's not what I want necessarily, but I will say, Nick Richards, I like him. What about you?
Yeah, I like this one. I think even in the chat, everyone's really loving this one right now. I think that the fact that you get a guy in Grant Williams back, that is that annoying piece of shit that you just know you're going to be upset. An annoying
piece of shit.
Yeah. Once a game, you'll be like, oh, why did you do that? Why are you doing that? But obviously he's a guy that you just don't even want to look at him. Like, he just has that face, just can't stand. So I do like this trade. I think it's one of the best ones yet.
All right. So Horny Hornets get two for us. We still have a couple more trades to go through. So, or one more trade. That was my third one, right?
Yeah, you went first. This is my last one. Yeah,
all right. So Matthew's last trade upcoming. I love this one. It'll never happen, but man.
It'll never happen. I know. The only way it would happen. So Nurkic going to the Detroit Pistons for Jalen Duren. 1 year, $4.5 million coming over. Obviously, he's a guy, a young stud with the Detroit Pistons, which they have a lot of young studs on that team. The only way this would happen is if, like, Jalen Duren was like a – he had to just force his way out of there. Something like, he's a prima donna or something. Just like, I need to be on a better team. I want to win now. That kind of thing. It's not going to happen. I mean, if that were to happen and he did not want to be in Detroit and force his way out, then obviously Phoenix would be a destination. I think he'd be perfect with this offense. I think that Nurkic would be a guy that Detroit would want to take back just because of that veteran leadership that maybe you want with Monty Williams. That's the only way it's going to happen. But I've always been a fan of Jalen Duren.
I'm a big fan of Jalen Duren. And there is a possibility because there's a lot of change happening in Detroit. Just hired a new president of basketball operations. There's a lot of question marks right now. Is Monty Williams going to go? Is their general manager going to go? What direction are they going to head in? The Pistons just lost out on the fifth overall pick again, unfortunately for them. You know, or the first overall pick. I'm sorry. They ended with the fifth pick again. Jaden Ivey hasn't turned out the way that they wanted him to. Killian Hayes was a bust. They're kind of like, and tell me if I'm spot on or way off on this analogy, they remind me of the Kings. Because the Kings, for the longest time, and the Suns know this because we were drafting right next to them, hand in hand. We'd hold hands and we'd march into the draft together, the Sun Kings. And we'd have something, you know, Booker hit and TJ Warren was okay. And, you know, they were drafting guys too, and they were just miss after miss after miss. And that's where the Pistons have been. They had the first overall pick. They took Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham, he's entering his third year, but he's nothing to write home about. He hasn't been that transformable player that I think everybody thought he was going to be. Jalen Duren's a damn good player. He's a damn good player. And if you are the Pistons, you want to build around Jalen Duren.
Yeah.
He's 11 something rebounds a game, 12 something points, second year. If you want to build around him, you do it. For me, if you attach both draft picks that the Suns have, if you go, we have the 2031 and this year's 2022, and you send it their way, they might start to think about it. That's the only way I could see this one actually happen.
Yeah.
Or at least to be mindfully considered. I would love to have Jalen Duren on the Suns. He is exactly what we need. He's a rim runner. He's a rebounder. He's explosive. He's 20 years old, Matthew. That's the other thing, is they're not going to dish him out because he's 20 years old, unfortunately. So there you go. Other names. Are there any other names out there? You know, Dorian Finney-Smith, for example. I heard today Dorian Smith, you know, the Nets are thinking about just blowing it up. Dorian Finney-Smith, would you be interested if the Suns were to pursue him?
I don't know. He's just kind of like someone sloppy seconds. I don't really know if I want
it. He's like sloppy eighths at this point.
Yeah, I think he misses time. You know, kind of like, you know, Kevin Durant. I'm just joking. But Finney-Smith, I'm totally joking. Finney-Smith is a guy maybe I would have 2 years ago. Honestly, any kind of depth with a guy that's secure like that, very confident player defensively too, it'd be nice to have at the guard position, or he's a smaller wing, but I don't know, man. It doesn't excite me. Does it excite you?
Not at all. Not at all. No. I think you said it very well.
Why would we just get Mikal back, man?
We can't afford him. Can't afford him. It's the same thing. I saw Sir Hamo said in the chat earlier, Jared Allen.
I did think about that.
20 a year, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to attach somebody with Nurk, and you can't. I did have that one, but you can't do it. But plus, Jared Allen, I guess they're having some issues with him, so he will not be there next year. They don't want him back.
Now, here's the other thing that we haven't talked about on the podcast, and we haven't done in any of our trades, and it's one thing that it's going to be its own episode. Right. We have a couple more of these. We have Trade Machine Nasir Little. I'm not doing a Trade Machine deal. I'm sorry, ladies and jamsters. I'm just not doing it. Or should we? It's like,
it would be the same as like Booker.
Yeah.
We would probably just like Trey Young. That's the only reason I wouldn't want to do it, because it'd be the same kind of guys that back.
I don't want to do it because I don't feel like there's any reality to it occurring. And Booker was more of an exercise to say, hey, how valuable is he? And Kevin Durant's like, okay, how valuable is he? When we're talking about Nurkic and we're talking about Little next week, I feel like we're talking about constructive approaches to this team versus fantasy land. So I want to do Nurk, which we just did. I want to do Little, which we just did. Now, here's the third thing, and this is what we'll do a couple weeks out. Stacking contracts and sending them out. It is possible. It's just not possible to send them to the same team. So one of the things that the Suns did recently is they hired Mark Tellem from the Brooklyn Nets, who was their director of strategy. He's supposedly supposed to be a capologist, if you will, and really good at executing three-team trades. He was in part of the Kevin Durant trade that was a three-teamer, essentially, because Jay Crowder ended up in Milwaukee. He was part of numerous trades with Boston I think he was there for the Boston ones, where there's some trades that he navigated where you have to get multiple people in the room, but a lot of different mechanics working. But that's the key. That's the strategy that the Suns have. Because you can take Nurk and you can take Nasir Little, and you could stack those contracts, essentially, and trade them to different cities. So one goes to Brooklyn, one goes to Cleveland, okay? They have swaps on the back end, and we end up with like a Jared Allen. It is possible. So in a couple weeks, that's what I want to do, is the three-team trade podcast. That's the
really, you know, creative, huh?
Yeah, we'll get really creative.
It's a lot of work to do these ones.
Dude, just spend your whole weekend, fuck the family. Because I think that is the best possibility for the Suns, is they're going to try to take Nasir Little, Yusuf Nurkic, and those picks, and in one fell swoop, rebuild the roster around Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. I think that's their best path to getting that other guy. Now, here's the funny thing to me, is if they do that, if they're trying to get like a Jared Allen or somebody who's making $20 to $27 million a year, I still wish we would have had 1 year with Ayton on this team, man. I just would have liked to see it. I just would have liked to see it. No. Like, if he's not working, dish him at the trade deadline last year.
Oh, you mean, yeah, start this season with him and see how it works out?
Yeah.
Aren't you just happy for him, though, that he's gone and just done with this bullshit, though, in a way? Like, from the fans, from just the players, where he can just have a career in Portland where, you know, it's not absolutely necessary to win anything there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good basketball town, but if you don't win, it's fine. Like, I understand that they're kind of going to get on to him, but the way that we treated him in Phoenix, too, it's just nice that he moved on. I'm very happy that he's good.
It needed to happen.
He's doing his shit over there. Yeah.
It needed to happen. There's no doubt about that.
Damn you, John. Now I want... I know.
But I'm just saying, like, if we can pull off, like, a Nasir Little, a Nurkic trade that somehow gets us, like, a Jared Allen, I would love that. When do you want to do our unrestricted free agent pod? Should that be Thursday? Because, like, I'm really looking forward to getting to where we just record on Mondays. That's coming. It's coming soon.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. So maybe let's Thursday. Let's TBD. TBD. But maybe Thursday we go into the, you know, because obviously there's a lot of stuff. I guess we can end the podcast with this thought process. LeBron James. So Bronny James, who has an agent, Rich Paul, who runs Clutch, obviously his dad, LeBron Sr., is a Clutch client, is working out for a specific group of teams. The Suns are one of those teams. Now, obviously, it sparks interest because if you can bring Bronny James here, LeBron has said that he's going to become an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Does that mean he just signs back with the Lakers? It's absolutely possible. But the possibility is there. And LeBron James solves a lot of problems for the Suns, does he not?
He does.
He does. Playmaking, a big body, somebody who can allow Kevin Durant to play the three on defense instead of the four. LeBron can do that. Would you want LeBron James here in Phoenix? And I know we'll talk about this probably a lot more in depth on Thursday if that's when we choose to do it. But, like, do you want to bring this guy here?
Yeah, I think he has a couple more good years in him for sure. Maybe three. I'm so scared because of the way this season turned out that it's going to be just a duplicate. It's going to be the same exact thing next
year. We're all afraid of that.
Yeah, so it kind of adds to that where I just have the anxiety and the worry that this might be the same thing again next year with a guy like LeBron, where you get the name here and it's just like, oh, but we're not going to win. We're not going to win because we are old and slow, and we're just having an old lady's house here in Phoenix surrounding Devin Booker. And Booker's like, what the fuck are we doing here? So I do have worries, but yeah, of course I would want LeBron on this team.
I think it's interesting.
It's weird.
It'd be cool to cover a season of LeBron, man.
That would be, yeah.
That would be fucking amazing. For all the issues that I've had with him. And I love how Keith says it. I love the physical talent. I don't like the personality. I'm kind of with you there. But as Juan Carlos says in the chat, he says, LeBron fits perfectly with our one-year window. Yeah, if you're trying to go all in for this year, knowing that if it doesn't work out, next year is kind of the blow it up year, LeBron, bring him in. Now, it is funny because Rich Paul saying that whoever drafts Bronny James, he will not sign a two-way contract.
Yep.
He will not go to the G League. Like, he's doing all these things. If you look at him from a prospect standpoint, like our own Damon Allred at Bright Side of the Sun has him like 67th on his overall prospect list. He's barely even a draft pick, and he has all these demands, and he can do that because he is LeBron James' kid.
I mean, the first guy I think about is Booker and what we're doing to surround him with these kind of with this junk, dude. It's a fucking circus, man. It's like getting Terrell Owens or something. You know what I mean? It's just kind of bringing that over here to Phoenix. Yeah. We already got Kevin Durant, and if the rumors are true with what he talks about and how he's unsettled with the roster midway through the season, then it's going to be about the same thing, but with LeBron, but times 10, times 100 with that guy. So that's going to be really – it's a tough thing. Of course you want LeBron, but – I don't know, dude. Just the way these teams are winning the playoffs, we just don't need that. But we just
need
don't,
something.
I don't know.
Need man. Something. We don't know. It's going to give us something to talk about all summer long, or at least until July when free agency hits. And,
true.
You know, we have a month until the draft, just under a month. It starts the 26th of June, and the 27th is day two. So 26 is 30 days from now. So we'll be tuning in for that. And we'll be coming to you a lot more live. We'll talk more about this LeBron situation when we go into all of our unrestricted free agent targets that Matthew and I have already kind of put together. Yeah, folks, we got one that says Nick Claxton on it. So don't you go worrying about it. You know, we're targeting him. but that being said, real quick, before we get out of here, Matthew, thoughts on the Valley Suns? Yeah, I didn't talk to you. I was with Espo in the last one. I want to hear your thoughts on Valley Suns.
You know what? I like the logo, the one in the middle by itself. I don't like the bigger logo with the Valley Suns. I like just the S, how it's kind of twisted there in the sun.
And those are V's too.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to find the V's. Where are they at?
It's the purple.
The purples are the V's?
Yeah, it looks like a U, but it's a V as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I was like, that looks cool on a hat.
That looks dope. I'm very happy for Bartlestein, whatever his name is, to actually have a press conference and host it himself and do it all without Matt Ishbia. So very proud of that dude doing that. But yeah, it's dope that the team's back. I mean, that we have a team back and it's 30 for 30, 30 out of 30 teams now in the NBA.
It'd be
that
fun
have
to
one,
go to so. A game, man. Like, I'm looking
especially
forward to
especially when
to
they're
a
playing
game.
There. Yeah, at ASU.
Yeah, Mullet Arena.
Mullet Arena. Yeah, that's very cool. I went there for a hockey game. So very up and personal. So it'd be very fun.
We'll have to go cover a game together. So that'll be fun. Outside of that, Jamsters, we'll see you on Thursday when we talk potentially about free agents. I might reach out to a couple of different people, see if they want to come jam with us. So thank you for hanging out with the Suns Jam Session podcast. Even though it's the off season, we're still here for you. You're still here for us. Kumbaya. Make sure you hit subscribe, man. If you're here, hit fucking subscribe. Please. Fucking forget about it. subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. You can follow me at Darth Void on Twitter. You can follow Matthew.
I'm Matthew Lucy.
And follow the show at Suns Jam. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. Until Thursday, Matthew, tell the people what they shall do.
Go home, love your family.
We need to shorten this song.
Call Suns Jam Session. Post game thrill. John and Matthew. Podcast skill. Analyzing game for comedic flair since 2019. They've been right here. Suns Jam Session. Post game pod. Talking Suns ball with the Jamster squad. From the Valley of the Sun. Spreading the word. Original podcast. Haven't you heard? Subreddit stick out behind enemy lines. Batman Valley. Listen, Curry combined. Reporting live. With jokes to the brain. Flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, post game pod. Talking Suns ball with the Jamster squad. From the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word. Original podcast, haven't you heard? Subreddit stakeout behind enemy lines. Batman, Valley, Lissy, and Kermit combined. Reporting live with jokes to the brain. Added flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, post game pod. Talking Suns ball with the Jamster squad. From the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word. Original podcast, haven't you heard?
Diehard fans are just passing through. Suns Jam Session's got something for you. Lick the eyes to the feet, spit a bite. With the Suns through the day and the night. After every game, don't miss the beat. Suns Jam Session's gonna bring the heat. John and Matthew leading the way in the Suns podcast right on Thursday. Suns Jam Session, post game pod. Talking Suns ball with the Jamster squad.